Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he shall humble himself shall be exalted. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being just that, our Father. God, we need you today. Our church is made up of people. Because we're made up of people, we have many needs. But Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May the Holy Spirit have the freedom to do the work here that he does so often. Please be with us. May we listen. May we be intent on the Holy Spirit, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, you're fired.
Well, get your Bible out and turn there. One verse, I want to point it out to you, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, one verse, verse 11, and we're going to use that verse, and I'm going to talk to you for a little while about it. The Bible says this in Matthew 23, 11, But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Look back at me, if you will. We use other passages of Scripture that I'll share with you. Today's Father's Day. You've heard me say this before. I'm not a special day speaker. I think every Sunday is a special day. And this is a special day. A little. This will lean toward fathers. But in its own unique little way. Today, I want to talk to you about this subject. Leadership in the home. Leadership in the home. Now, you may think you know the direction that I'm about to go. My guess would be that you do not, and that you should just listen carefully and let me teach you something that could make your life just a little better. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to tell you a true story in a community called Franklin Manor, Maryland, near the Chesapeake Bay. On January 7th of the year of 1961, something happened. There's a man and a woman. Their names were Harold and Shirley Dresbeck. They had two sons. One son, age 16, his name was Lee. Another son, age 15, his name was Wayne. On that day, Lee had played in a basketball game. It was an away game. His brother Wayne went with Lee to watch the game. It was sad, but in that family, Lee, the ball player, was preferred over his brother, who was 15 years old. It was obvious to him that somehow his parents thought that because someone was athletic, they were a superior human being to another, and it was very known by the younger son named Wayne. Well, that night, Lee rode home on the team bus. Wayne had come home on the fan bus. Well, the team bus got home earlier than the fan bus. Lee got home and went to bed. Wayne got home an hour late. Somehow his parents had not caught on to this fact that someone's physical ability does not make them superior. Actually, it is spirituality that makes someone superior, not physical. But somehow, they had not caught on to that. And when Wayne was punished for being an hour later, which was unreasonable, he had merely ridden a fan bus home, when he when he got home and when he was punished, it was very, very severe. Wayne already had bottled up in him some spite for his parents because of the mental mistreatment, because he knew that his parents preferred his older brother over him. The sad thing is, and a true story, his parents went to bed that night. The next morning, Wayne took his .22 rifle and he shot his mother 5 times. He shot her 3 times in the chest and 2 times in the back. He shot his father 9 times, once in the jaw, once in the chest, 3 times in the arm, 3 times in the back, and once in the buttocks. It's real sad when fellowship and leadership are unable to get it together. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Folks, the homes in America are sure suffering. If you have a mobile phone or a pager, please turn it off. Please turn it off. Oh, well. Isn't it a sad thing that in America our homes have deteriorated to the point that they have? I think something that we need to learn in America again is leadership. You say, yes, I believe we need leadership. And we need our commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, to be a good leader. Oh, indeed, I agree. But let me tell you where that starts, at home.
Right.
Well, I believe we need leadership. We need the generals of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and Brother Bush, he was in the Brownies. And we need leadership. Oh, yes, we do. But let me tell you where real leadership starts. It starts at home. Starts at home. There is a dearth of leadership in America, not because of our schools, not because of the politicians, not because the military are now, you know, passive about the sodomites, but there is a dearth of leadership in America because there is a dearth of leadership in our homes. What is leadership? Well, let me see if I can explain it to you the best I know how. Leadership is not dictatorship. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. You don't need to turn to it. It's in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 34, the Bible says this. Verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now understand here, this is when it says the shepherds of Israel, it's talking about the leadership. Those that are shepherding a flock, whether that means the spiritual leadership or whatever leadership, we're talking about leadership here. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat. And you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Here says they have no shepherd, but wait a minute. Start out saying, talk to the shepherds. Then at the end it says they have no shepherd. So what does it mean? It means, he said, the people that think they're leaders are not handling their leadership well, to the point that by the time he got to the end of what he said to prophesy, he said they're not really leaders. They really are not shepherds. They call themselves shepherds, but the followers have no real shepherd. And it said here that they were leading the flock with cruelty and virtually driving them away. The leadership is being told to be careful. The leadership is being told how to lead. Listen, let me give you what I consider a good definition of leadership. Leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow. Leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow. Notice I did not say instill in the heart of the follower a fear, but a desire to follow. Our people that have been here in the last couple of years have heard me teach just a little portion of this. I'll repeat myself, but listen carefully. It was the great Dr. Lee Robertson from Chattanooga, Tennessee, that said, everything rises and falls on leadership. So he's saying the success of anything will be dependent on that leadership. Something will either rise to its potential because of the leadership or fall because of the leadership. My friend Jack Scott is a pastor now of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. He made a statement once. He said, everything rises or falls on followership. And what he's saying is, whether something rises to its potential will be based on the follower, or if something falls, it would fall based on the follower. Now, so one says everything rises and falls on leadership. Another says everything rises or falls on fellowship. Now, let me tell you what I say. I say I believe both. I think everything rises and falls on leadership and fellowship. Everything rises or falls on both leadership and fellowship. You see, here's what I believe. A truly good leader is a good follower. And a truly good follower has the quality of leadership. Because I think something, if you're a good follower, then you can become a good leader. And if you are truly a good leader, then you know how to follow. Let me show you. I'm not against what I'm about to teach you. But I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what most people think leadership is. I'm going to get all of you guys to help me now. I'm going to be the leader, and I want you guys to line up behind me here, single file, facing me. And this is what most of us think leadership is. We think that leadership is, I'm a leader. Now, all of you stay in line, and you follow me. Now, I want you to know that this is not bad, but I'm going to show you what I think the purest form of leadership is. I think the purest form of leadership is both knowing how to lead and knowing how to follow. So, watch this. This is true leadership. I'm leading, but I'm also following. You see, I'm following Brother Nash right now. Brother Nash could be leading the line. Or maybe I'm leading the line. Maybe Brother Young is leading the line. Maybe Brother Young's at the end of the line. But you see, true leadership, here's what we think it is. We think it is, you guys just stay in line. You stay under me. You stay down. You stay back. Don't you try to take my position. That's not what leadership's all about. That's not what leadership's all about. You see, we both need to learn to lead and to follow, and the purest form of leadership is good followership, and the purest form of good followership is leadership. You guys can have a seat. Thank you very much. Great leadership is both following examples while setting examples. Great leadership is both influencing while you are being influenced. You understand that there will be a time when Brother Bush is the leader. He is the principal of Martinsburg Christian Academy. And Brother Young teaches in Martinsburg Christian Academy. So then, Brother Bush is the leader, Brother Young is the follower. But when Brother Young takes our men up to the Shooters Expo, he's in charge of that. He's the leader. Now, if Brother Bush goes with Brother Young, Brother Bush is not the leader at that time. That means Brother Bush is to be the follower at that time and submit to the leadership. And I think we're awful confused. Somehow we think once you get into leadership, you don't have to follow anymore. I'm sorry. You didn't catch what it's really all about. We need to both learn to lead and to follow. So what is real leadership? Leadership is the ability to lead, and it's the ability to follow. And if in its purest form, leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow. Now, that's not what my sermon is all about. Number two. Let me give you the most common teachings about leadership in the home. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents." Now we're starting at the bottom of the totem pole, and we're saying, children, you're to obey your parents. And every little boy and every little girl and every teenager, you look up here at Brother Owens, you're to obey your mama. You're to obey your daddy. And you're to do what they say. You're to do it when they say it, and you're to do it with a good attitude. And so, we agree with that. Children, obey your parents. I agree with that. Then, let's take a step up the ladder of leadership. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. That's not very popular today, but it's still in the Bible. Maybe you could find one of the newfangled perversions of the Bible and they'll take that out. I'm sure they will eventually. They're taking everything else out. But the Bible says that a wife should be in submission to her husband. I feel sorry for some men. Some wives just flat out won't submit, and the only thing a man can do to keep his marriage together is he humbles himself down and submits. It's too bad. I feel sorry for you, sir, if that is the case in your home. But the Bible says a wife should submit to her husband. That's what the Bible teaches. So the child should submit to mom and dad. Mom or the wife should submit to her husband. The Bible very clearly teaches the husband is the head of the wife. Then, next step. Ephesians 5:23 says that Christ is to be the head of the husband. So men, you are to be in submission to Christ, and then the wife should submit to the husband who's in submission to Christ, and the children should submit to mom who is in submission to dad who is in submission to Christ, and then you have that little ladder of leadership. Now, that is what we know and what we have learned through years. Any of you have been in church any time at all, you've heard that about leadership. I agree with all of that. But I want to give you just another level of leadership in the home, if I could. Let me give you what I call an uncommon teaching of leadership in the home. Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You know, young people have seldom been good at doing what we tell them to do, but they're really good at doing what we do. They mimic us more than they mind us. See, we so often think that leadership is this position. It is brute strength. It is power. It is being in charge. Well, leadership, folks, is a quality, not just a position. And listen very carefully, because herein lies the truth of the morning. Leadership is more than just a position that you fill. It is a will that you fulfill, and it is a quality more than it is merely a position. You've got to understand something. If you have the position of leadership, then you're to have the quality that goes along with the position. We are indeed to follow leadership. We're to follow the position. You're to follow. If somebody has a position of leadership, we're to follow that position of leadership. But if your claim to leadership is only that somebody gave you the position and you're empty of the qualities, positional leadership is the weakest kind of leadership. They gave you the position, now everybody has to shut up and obey. Hey, what would happen if you were the kind of leader that could instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow and you had the qualities of leadership rather than just a assigned position of leadership? You know, if the only claim that you have to the position of leadership is that it was assigned to you, that is the weakest form of leadership. Did you know something? Anybody past their mid-teenage years can father a child. But anybody can be a father. Anybody can give birth to a baby who's in their early teenage years and on. Not anybody can be a biblical mother. Some uncommon teaching about leadership is this. Leadership is just not a word. Leadership is a word that has a definition, and that definition is a quality. There's a quality that's supposed to be there. And what I'm about to teach you, you hear me out, but I believe that everybody in this church ought to attempt to lead your home. Oh, I believe that the husband ought to be the head of the household. I believe the wife ought to submit to the husband. I believe the children ought to submit to mom and dad. But I also believe there's another level of leadership that's called the qualities of leadership. And I believe that everybody at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, whether you're a child, a teenager, a married adult, a single adult, a senior citizen, I think all of us ought to rise up and lead our homes. You say, Brother Owens, anything that has more than one leader is a two-headed monster. Oh, I'm not talking about you taking over by force. I'm talking about why don't we all have the qualities of leadership? Let me show you what I mean. The great leader in a home is the one who leads in the area of being a servant. Because being a servant is the quality that we're looking for in leadership. Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Who does the most serving at your house? Whoever serves the others the most in your house is the leader in the area of the quality of servitude. And Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant. Who's the leader in your home? Whoever it is, could be leading in the area of being a servant. Husbands, you could serve your wife and therefore be the leader in the area of being a servant. You better remember something. We so often gravitate toward positional leadership. And if all you have is leadership because it's a position, it's empty. You ought to want to have the quality. I would rather have the quality and have no position than have the position and no qualities. Who's the greatest servant? Wife? Who's the greatest servant in your home? That is a quality of leadership. Whoever is the greatest servant is the leader of the home in the area of being a servant. Wife said to her husband, you want breakfast in bed? Sleep in the kitchen. Husband, serve your wife. You sit in my office and you say, I'd like my wife to serve me. You got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. You ought to want to serve her. Well, I'm a leader in my home. Leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow. Train her to serve. You say, all right, heel, woman. You're not going to train her to serve by using your position. You will train her to serve by using the quality. And what is the quality? It's being a servant. And you serve her as she learns how to become a servant. If you listen to me, I straighten out some of your marriages today. Quality, not just position. Parents, you children better stop and realize something. You better stop and realize what your mom and dad do so often, all day long, every day, is serve you. We serve our young people. Children, you ought to serve mom and dad. You ought to serve mom and dad. There are probably teenagers in here that are the leaders of their home. Why? They serve mom and dad. They are leading in the area of being a servant. And that is a quality of leadership. I challenge everybody here. I dare you. Lead your home. Lead your home. I want you to lead your home, teenager. Child, I want you to lead your home. I want you to go in and lead. You say, how, Brother Owens? I want you to become such a servant that everybody looks at you and says, wow, look at the example of being a good servant. And you have become the leader in the area of the quality of being a servant. And the Bible says the servant is the greatest. It's the greatest. The great leader in the home is the one who leads the home in the area of kindness. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You want to lead? Let me give you an area of leadership. Kindness. Why don't you decide to start leading your home using the quality of kindness? You could become the leader in the home in regard to kindness. Try this. Please. Please. I wonder if the roles were reversed and the children could remind you to say please as often as you try to remind them. Please. Please. Please is a leadership tool. It's quality. Please. Thank you. Thank you. Get the door for one another. I do my very best that when Mrs. Owens and I go somewhere, I hold the door for her while she carries the groceries in. Well, I go around, I get her door for her. I try to treat her like a lady. Sir, you know, no one had hit you on the backside on the way through, babe. Serve one another. Be good to one another. Be kind to one another. May I? Please? Thank you? You know what we need to do? We need to start cleaning up after ourselves. You show me in the Bible where it says you're supposed to be a pig and somebody else is supposed to be your servant and clean up after you all the time. There are men who, I have to tell you something, you are not leading your home. I'm the father here. I'm the husband here. And who is the most powerful person in the home? The one that used the power of kindness. The power of being a servant. I told this story, I'll tell it again. I was preaching, I think my daughter was with me, but I was in Morgantown, West Virginia, went to Bob Evans. And I watched a waitress come over, and she waited on us, and there was another gal, a little older, and she was the one cleaning the tables. And this waitress that was serving us was a little curt, a little unkind. I left a tip. And when the waitress that was serving us saw the tip, she came over and she just about snatched that thing off the table. And she looked at the older lady that was just cleaning tables, obviously not a waitress, obviously given the lesser job. And that waitress that looked at the one that was cleaning the tables and just crammed that tip in her pocket and stuck her nose in the air and marched off like, I'm superior. And to be quite honest, the lady cleaning tables had a better attitude than the waitress. And I hurt for that lady that was there serving. just cleaning the tables. I went over, I think it was a $20 bill. I asked her, I said, ma'am, do they give tips to those that do a good job cleaning tables? She said, oh, no, sir. I said, well, they do today. I handed her that $20 bill. I watched her looking at it as she folded, put it in her pocket. I watched her eye moisten. That day, she might have been the most powerful person in the whole place. She was serving very humbly. Kindness. Kindness is what America needs again. Kindness is what your home needs. I dare you, lead your home. Lead it to be a kind place. Lead it by serving. You know, the greatest leader in a home is the one who leads in the area of patience. Patience. We're far too hasty with one another. Just hurry, hurry this. Hurry, hurry that. Do you know that not all emotions will be hurried? You want to lead? Show us the great leadership quality called patience. I tell the men on my staff often, I say, men, there are two ways to break down a block of ice. You can take a sledgehammer and beat the stuffings out of it. You can set it out in the sun and let it melt slowly. I said, there are some times we just need to melt the ice and take our time and be patient. I've made far more mistakes in my life, and Mrs. Owens would agree with this. I've made far more mistakes in my life by going too fast than too slow. Now, some of you, a turtle can outrun you, and you need to get on the ball. But patience. We need patience. James chapter 1, verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Patience. Patience. You want to lead? Lead in the area of patience. This says, let patience have her perfect work. Her. I've never seen that before. Her. Okay, let patience have her perfect work. What's it saying? Patience is a perfecter. Patience will help you to make right decisions. Patience will help you to have the right attitude, a complete attitude, the right kind of an attitude. Be patient. Be patient at home. You know why? God's not finished with your husband yet. Be patient. I can't tell you how many wives have said to me, Brother Owens, I'm so excited. I'm watching my husband grow in the Lord. Well, be patient. We're not done yet. We're just getting started. And men say, my family's growing. My wife, I'm just watching her grow in leaps and bounds in regard to the things of the Lord. Be patient. She's not finished yet. We were teasing as we walked in the Sunday school building earlier. Brother Aaron Chris, he and I were standing there talking, and Brother Ronnie Schlifford walked in. Ronnie's one of the best men in our church. And Aaron said, we're going to try to get old Ronnie saved today. And Ronnie said, well, give it a try. As long as I'm breathing air, there's still a chance. You hear me say from time to time, as long as you're sucking air, you still have a chance to do something for God. And anybody that's still alive and in this building, they're not done growing. Hey, in your family, why don't you rise up and become a leader and develop the quality of patience? The children are still growing. Your teenagers are still growing. The teenage years are rough years. I know. I had four teenagers in my house at one time. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Not really. It was drugs. I don't say this to hurt a lady. And if you're hurt by this, you probably got more hair on your legs than I do. But the lady, according to the Bible, is the weaker vessel. She can't carry the load that the man can. Men, be patient. Be patient. Love her. Lead her. Be patient. Your husband is trying very hard. Your wife is trying very hard. It's not easy. None of us have lived today until today. We didn't know what the day would bring. It's a new day. There are new challenges. And if you really want to be a leader, don't use your position. Use the quality and be patient. Be patient. Mother and her son had just returned home from the grocery store. The boy ran to the kitchen table, opened up the animal crackers or cookies. He began spreading those things all over the kitchen table. His mother came over and just very patiently started helping him. And they were everywhere, hundreds of them. And she said, "Honey, what are we doing?" He said, "Mama, it says on the box, don't eat if the seal's broken." She said, "I'm looking to see if the seal's broken." Okay. Sidebar, commercial, blondes. There's a little seal, like a cookie, like an elephant, like a rhinoceros on the inside. If that cookie was broken, the little boy didn't think he should eat the cookie. All right, back to the normal people. Do you know what would do some of you moms and dads good? You need to go down here to Food Lion and buy a box of animal cookies and lay them out on the table and look at them with your kids for a little while and slow down and stop expecting them to be grown adults. They're still growing. And if you want to lead your family right, you need to lead with quality, not with position. And the quality of patience is necessary. The quality, not the position. The quality of patience, the quality of being a servant, the quality of kindness. The great leader in the home is the one who leads in the area of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." There are probably families here right now, grown adults, you are not leading your home. Your 6-year-old son is more obedient to the Bible than you are. That makes him the leader in your home with obedience. And this may be the greatest quality of biblical leadership. I hate to think there are women in this congregation, your teenage daughter is more obedient to God than you are, which makes her the leader of the home in the area of obedience. Your problem is you say, "Well, I'm the mom. Well, I'm the dad." Well, la-dee-da. If that's the only way you know how to lead, that is weak, that is shallow, and that is very little. You know what we ought to be saying? "I'll be a servant, I'll be patient, I'll be kind, I'll do those things." It's quality, not position. We're so confused. I think you ought to follow the position. But real leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of the follower the desire to follow. To obey. Obey mom. Obey dad. Obey teachers. Obey husband. Obey the Bible. Obey the preaching. Obedience. A great quality of leadership is obedience. 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 Who's the leader in your home? Is it the children? Who has the best spirit in your home? Then they're the leader in the area of having a good spirit. I challenge you. I challenge everybody in this building. Rise up. Lead your home. Lead your home. Somebody's got to do it. The greatest leader in a home is the one who leads in the area of love. Gentlemen, your wife should know that you love her. You love her even more than her sins that might hurt you. That's how Jesus loved you. Ladies, your husband should know that you love him. Your children should know that they're loved. Children, mom should know that you love her. Dad should know that you love him. And just so you know, a Father's Day gift one time a year and acting like a brat the rest of the year does not qualify for a good expression of love to me. Hallmark will not take the place of an obedient child the other 51 weeks of the year. Leadership. What is it? Well, there's more to it than just a position. It's quality. Your kids should know that you love them. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I don't know when, but I want to mention again. Mrs. Owens was talking one day to a mother. That mother was so disappointed in one of her children. Not here, another place, but Mrs. Owens talked to this mom and said, how's your child doing? And that mother said, I have no child. Denying that that child was hers because of that child's behavior. I will not condone misbehavior by children, nor will I condone misbehavior by a parent who denies the presence of a child because the child has disappointed them. You better thank your heavenly stars and your God that He did not deny you because you did wrong. He has more right to throw you out of the family and say you don't exist than you'll ever have to say your child does not exist. He is a perfect father. And we are merely flawed human beings. Leadership. You know what we need to do? We need to develop the ability to instill in the heart of the follower a desire to follow. That is not done by telling everybody what your position is. It's done by letting everybody see the quality of the position. You take a teacher in a classroom, every teacher here. The only way you can control a classroom is to say, I'm a teacher. Everybody there, including you, are wondering if you're really the leader. I'm the husband. You're doubting it too, aren't you? I'm in charge. You're not sure of yourself, are you? Is it quiet in here or is it just me? Yeah, folks, you have to breathe or you die. Breathe. Bonds. Out. In. Out. You got it? Okay. Being a servant. Kindness. Patience. Obedience. Love. Hey, you want to be the real leader in your home? Why don't you decide to lead in the area of forgiveness? Forgiveness. Lead in the area of forgiveness. A father and his daughter were playing in the living room while the mother and son were in the kitchen. They were doing the dishes together, washing and drying. There was a crash from the kitchen. Oops, Mom broke a dish, said the daughter. Dad said, well, how do you know Mom broke the dish? The daughter said, well, she's not screaming at anyone. Why don't we treat people the way we like to be treated? God help me. But Joe, I never want to fall. I want to preach to the day I die. But I'll tell you something. If I ever mess up, if the preachers across America will treat me the way I treat them when they mess up, I'll be okay. How about forgiveness? People in this room, you've been holding what you call grudges and your bitterness and your hatred just about long enough. You mothers that harbor that nasty attitude, hateful, spiteful. You say, I'm the mother. You're not leading like you think. They're looking at the quality, not the position. How about we learn to forgive? Are you the leader in your home in the area of forgiveness? Are you the leader in your home in the area of love? Are you the leader in your home in the area of obedience or patience or being a servant? Are you the leader in the area of kindness in your home? I recommend to you that the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, from the youngest child in this congregation to the oldest gray-haired saint, that we all rise up and say, let's become leaders. How? By following the example of Jesus Christ and getting the quality, not just the position. Said, he says he's the Son of God. He says he's the King of the Jews. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was the greatest servant that ever walked the face of this earth. He was the kindest man that ever walked the face of this earth. He was more patient than anyone ever. He was obedient all the way unto death. He loved, and it cost him everything. And he'll forgive anything you've done. There's the greatest follower. Who is the greatest leader? Who is the greatest follower? Who is the greatest leader? Who is the greatest follower? Who is the greatest leader? He put the quality with the position. And he is the King of Kings. Leadership. Leadership is the ability to instill in the heart of a follower the desire to follow. And I think Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Great and servant connected in the very same verse. He's talking about leadership and followership as both. If you're here today and you're not born again, I give you a good piece of advice. If I were you, I would follow Jesus Christ. I think I would say, you know what I'll do? I'll trust Him as my Savior, get saved, I'll start following Him in my life. Because some of you need His leadership. Look what you've done to your life. Look at the mess that your life is in. So what's the answer? Well, you might need a leader. The best leader you'll ever meet is Jesus Christ. He'll be your Savior, then He'll lead you through your life if you get saved. Now, you don't follow to get saved. That's work salvation. No, you trust Him as Savior. That's it. Then He'll give you the ability to follow. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.